This is the No More Wasted Days podcast, and we're your hosts, Sarah Kaufman Bradstreet
and Heather Peachy. Grab your favorite NA drink and listen as we share vulnerable stories so you never feel alone on your alcohol-free journey.
And gain insights from us as we break down our most used tips and strategies that have kept us alcohol-free.
It's time to break free from wasting any more of your days to the drinking, blackout, hangover cycle.
Welcome to another episode of the No More Wasted Days podcast. I'm your host, Sarah.
I'm Heather.
All right. We are going to talk about kind of a heavy topic today, but you know, Heather and I, we're going to try to make it informative, but also keep it light so we don't take you down a dark spiral. Instead, we're going to teach you to do spiraling up, which is what one of our daymakers said last week on a call. And I was like, I love that so much. So take this information, which can be kind of heavy, use it to your advantage to make your life just a little bit easier. I think when you understand things more, the easier it is to take on those heavier parts. Do you agree?
I do. I think, number one, I love spiraling up.
Yeah.
The more you know, the more you know.
Yeah, exactly. And is it Maya Angelou that says, know better, do better? And it pertains to so many things. And this is one of them. We're going to be talking all about grief.
Yep, we are. Before we get started, I'm going to tell you a very corny joke.
Just to keep it light here.
Yes. What is brown and sticky?
There's so many things I could say, but I don't know.
A stick. I told that to my daughter the other day. She said, a brownie, mama.
A brownie, mama. Of course, a brownie. I like the way Piper's thinking.
Me too.
I'm going to tell that one to my tweenager, who's almost a teenager. My son has the most inappropriate sense of humor right now. And he is really not figuring out who his audience is, that we have to be parents and we don't say it to us. Just like you wouldn't say it to an employer or you wouldn't say it to a teacher. Say it to all of your middle school guy friends, but not to us. So I've been trying to come up with corny jokes he could tell us instead or tell grandma and grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to use that on him. I am trying to teach him boundaries, which he is not learning. So I'm concerned. No, I'm not concerned at all. But I am like, oh my gosh, the teenage brain. Not formed at all.
No, mine wasn't. I don't know if mine still is.
And can you believe, I bet you were like me. I thought mine was so formed and I was the smartest person in the room.
Girl, I thought I knew everything. If you didn't believe me, you could just ask me.
Yeah, exactly. That's how both of my kids are right now. And I'm like, don't worry. Me and your dad know a little bit more than you. And your grandma and grandpa know even more than we know, which I would never have said that. When I was a teenager, I would have never admitted that my parents knew things.
Right.
Now, do I know the latest slang? Absolutely not.
I have no clue.
I catch on when it's done. I feel like I'm finally saying low-key. I'm low-key. I'm low-key irritated. I told my daughter the other day, I'm high-key irritated. And she's like, nobody says that.
Well, we did. You do. And now I'm going to.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a good little moment for everybody. I don't have anything big to fill anybody in on. I think I'm going to talk about some of it in our topic. So do you have anything you wanted to fill anybody in on before we dive in?
Nope. Just my really corny joke.
Thank you so much for that. All right. Heather's going to take it away for the first part. We're actually just going to talk about what grief is. In the first section of this podcast. And then we're going to talk about managing grief of others, of loved ones, while you're alcohol free. And then we're going to go into something that's pretty interesting and I didn't see coming my way when I first quit drinking, but grieving your drinking self, which is something you need to be prepared for if you're brand new to your journey and if you're farther along on your journey and you haven't ever thought of it, I bet you're going to realize that you have done it. So I'm going to let Heather take it away.
Yeah. So the definition of grief is deep and poignant distress caused by some type of suffering. I have always said that I think grief is the strangest thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a fog, and you wonder how people can go on and do normal things, like go to the grocery store. It's like when you've lost someone that you deeply love, it's almost baffling that, like, say you're a passenger in the car and you see a lady pushing her buggy cart into the grocery store. Like, yeah. How can you do that when I feel like I cannot?
I completely understand that. It's like your world stops.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is going on. And nobody understands what you're stuck in. And you may even have other loved ones experiencing the same grief, but they're not experiencing it in the same way as you. So,
yes.
I know I've had moments that I'll share with too, where I've thought, should I do these things? Is this what I should do right now? Or do I just need to sit? Like, I almost question if I should go on living my normal life. Like, yeah. Just kind of, or should I take this time to just sit and do nothing? Like, it is just such a shocking thing to your nervous system.
Yes, it really is. And researchers have looked into the effect on grief and the brain and how it functions. So basically, the part of the brain's reward center that dictates addiction-related behaviors, the brain scans of affected individuals show the activation of neural pathways to place in the area of the brain that's associated with the longing for alcohol and other drugs. My point is that this suggests that memories of loved ones could promote addictive behaviors in those who suffer from complicated grief.
That is so interesting.
Mm-hmm. And the way I was taught and understand complicated grief is if you have multiple losses in a close period of time. For example, my first love passed away and my dad passed away a year and a half later.
Wow. That's big.
Yeah. God, yeah, it was awful.
Yeah. And at the time, you were drinking still.
Mm-hmm.
Did it become more when your dad passed away? Did your drinking become heavier? Or
yes.
Did you notice at that time?
I did notice. And I was aware, maybe a year or two after my daddy passed away, that I was drinking to avoid, numb the pain.
And it's alcohol is so efficient at numbing the brain. It is so efficient at turning your brain off, which we learned about in the episode where we talked about what happens to your brain when you drink. It turns off your GABA receptors and it turns off your glutamate. Like, your brain is not working anymore. So it makes complete sense when you're feeling this overwhelming sense of loss that your body doesn't know how to comprehend, that you're just like, what if I just shut it off?
Yeah. I wish that I did not do that because it truly delayed the actual grieving process and I suffered more and longer.
Mm-hmm. I remember you talking about that in the community and when people were talking about, has anybody had to grieve anyone while sober? And mm-hmm. You mentioned, think not yet, right? Not during your sobriety journey, but you were like, but I had to deal with the grieving of your dad when you quit drinking finally.
Yeah. My aunt, actually, my favorite aunt, passed away a few months after I quit drinking. She was like a second mother to me. And that was hard, but not as hard because I think I had a little more tools and I could like grieve it in real time.
Mm-hmm. And I will say I've had to do some grieving while, I mean, everybody has to do some grieving, right? That's a strange way to say that. But I've had people pass away while I've been sober. And I know it's made it easier. I know it's made me feel like I did it right. And I feel like that was something I would always question before. Am I doing this right? Am I honoring this person in the right way? And is this like, am I taking care of myself? And it's just so many questions happen in your brain. But when I was probably 1 month, 1 month into my alcohol-free journey, my grandma passed away. And she was 95. She died the day before her 95th birthday. And my sister was actually there. And I was so thankful that when my parents called, I wasn't hungover.
Mm-hmm.
when my parents called, I wasn't drunk. They happened to call me in the morning. So it was that I wasn't hungover and that I could, like, that I picked up the phone. Because drinking me, if I was hungover and my parents were calling, I'd be like, oh, no, I can't do that right now. I'm going to do that a little later. But it's like I saw the phone ring and I was like, oh, okay, I got to pick this up. My parents don't usually call me in the morning on a weekday. And then they had told me, you know, grandma's in the hospital. She's really, really sick. And it was so much easier being alcohol free. And that's what I tell people. I'm like, I was 1 month into it. My emotions were a disaster. I actually remember leading up to it that I was so emotional and crying all the time and just being like, what is wrong with me? And then this happened on top of it. And it almost gave me this way to release the emotions in a healthier way and just know, okay, this is what I need to do. And I was able to make really good decisions, not erratic decisions. My parents live halfway across the United States from me, and that's where my grandma lived. And they were very much like, do not come home. Your grandma would not want you to buy a plane ticket and come home. You got to talk to her on the phone. You got to, and they were like, your sister happens to be here at this time. Everything is okay. And I think drinking me would have just been like, no, I have to do this and I have to make this crisis. And I think I was able to really take comfort in my parents being like, we don't need to make this a crisis. This was a natural thing that was going to happen. And we just need to do it the way grandma wanted it to be done. And she didn't want a big deal.
I think that's a good point about like the erratic behavior around it or the impulsivity, you know, as drinkers and as non-drinkers, we're able to think clearly and make more reasonable, rational decisions.
Honestly, I mean, that is one of the biggest things that I have noticed being alcohol-free, and not just in grieving situations, in all different situations, just that I don't make these crazy decisions. And it wasn't even if I was drinking, it was just like my brain didn't work correctly.
Definitely. Speaking of your brain, when in relation to grief, your brain is overloaded with grief, sadness, loneliness, so many feelings. And your grief brain affects your memory, concentration, and cognition. Your brain is focused on the feelings and the symptoms of grief, which gives you little room for everyday tasks. This can also mirror ADHD.
That's really interesting too. And
yeah,
with the grief brain affecting your memory, concentration, and cognition, that's like everything that alcohol affects too. So just think about that ride that you're taking your brain on.
Absolutely. I worked in hospice and every setting of hospice years ago, and I helped the folks who were passing away and their loved ones. And in my observation, it is obviously universal, and people do not experience it the same way, like you were saying earlier, Sarah. And when my dad was in the hospital, I asked to speak to a hospice social worker because I needed a social worker. Complicated family dynamics. I was exhausted, difficulty concentrating, making these big decisions. And I was told that she died.
It's like, no way.
They could have said, we don't have one at the moment. May we send one from the hospital, like a hospital social worker, which I was at the time, just not at that hospital. You can't make it up.
And I think too, when you work in a hospital, you're probably more, the word death isn't as scary, or they died. That's very like, it's almost a medical term. And for us, it's so like, I don't want to say that. I don't want to admit that that happened.
Right. And it gave me one more person to manage their feelings. What I mean by that is I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, it just gave me kind of one more thing to emotionally manage.
And you're already in crisis situation. That is really hard.
Yeah.
It's just, it's crazy to me with grief, just how it can affect you differently when different people leave your life, or when something, a big change happens in your life that you can grieve that too. Like, I've had to grieve even my teaching self, which I was ready to leave the teaching profession. But about 3 weeks ago, our dog passed away, and that was hard. She was my little buddy. But I told myself I wasn't going to cry during any of this because it's like I can talk about my grandma passing away. I almost cried during that one. But Marley, we knew she was old. So it should not have been such a surprise. Yet it was such a surprise. And I've never had a dog pass away at home. I've always had dogs get sick. And you know it's time to make the choice to put them to sleep. And she just wandered off one morning. Like, me and Ryan now have had time to process it a little bit more. And we kind of joke. I was like, you know, she just woke up on that morning and thought, today is the day to die. And she just wandered off to a spot and she died. And she really, honestly, that is what she did. She knew it was time and she did what they say dogs will do. And she found an amazing hiding spot. And we looked for her for probably 2 hours. I was convinced she had been eaten by a wild animal. And before anybody's like, oh, you shouldn't let your dog out, this dog was the dog that you could let out and she would always come back. She just was that dog. Our other dog is not that dog. So, but all of a sudden, me and my husband are in the yurt turning on the pellet stove in there over lunchtime. And as we left, he looked over at the dog dish and it was really full of food because we have an automatic feeder. And he said, Marley, you need to eat up your food. And then I looked at him and I said, where's Marley? And he was like, where is she? And we like checked under all the beds and the yurt, couldn't find her. And it just became this 2-hour search on our land and driving up and down our road. And finally we found her behind a wood pile. I don't even know how she got back there, Heather, but she had gone back there. She had passed away and we had to, you know, get her and go bury her and do all the things. But it has been so hard to grieve her. But I remember going to bed that like all the things you're saying make so much sense. And it's almost like I needed to hear that then on that day, because I was so like, am I supposed to cook dinner? Like,
yeah.
Am I supposed to, are we still going to just watch TV tonight? Are we like, are we going to just do all of our normal things we always do? But Marley just died. And it was just so, it was wild. And it was hard to feel like, oh, I can do regular things. That's okay. And it was an interesting time. I will say the one thing that absolutely didn't happen is I did not want to drink. I knew it when I was thinking, why would you want to drink when you feel like this? Mm-hmm. I feel like it would make it feel worse. But that's me being 5 years alcohol free.
Yeah.
So I could understand if drinking was your norm, that it would be the thing that you turned to.
Absolutely. You know, you hear about the 5 stages of grief, and I learned that the stages were actually intended for the person who is in the dying process.
Oh, however, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm, however, it can be applied to the person who is experiencing the loss. And like if you look at anticipatory grief for either the person that you love who is passing away or yourself, I think this is applicable also.
Mm-hmm. So are the 5 stages?
Yeah. So number one is denial. And this is the one that I have the most propensity for, if you will. You deny that the loss has happened or is happening. And you may experience feelings such as confusion, shock, and numbness.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, second of mine, anger. In this stage, we feel angry that the loss has happened or is happening. We try to blame others, even blame ourselves. We have feelings of guilt, regret, and shame.
So I'm like all of these so far. I'm like, yep, yes.
Yeah. And then bargaining. In this stage, we remain in the past. We often tell ourselves, what if I or should I have? Thinking about the way we did something to prevent the loss or death.
And things we should have done differently.
Yeah. Number four is depression. In this stage, we experience the devastating feelings of sadness, emptiness, and pain that comes with the loss. And then number five is acceptance. In this stage, we accept that the loss has happened. This does not mean that we agree with the loss or even feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the state of acceptance, that allows us to move forward and progress through our lives a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's really important to know all these and if you have a loved one who has lost someone, it's really important to know it. So even helps you identify. I had my sister-in-law, she passed away really young and she was on hospice and we all kind of knew it would happen. But one of the things my dad told me is to support her spouse, who's my brother-in-law, go look up the 5 stages of grief. And that's when I did it. And I was alcohol-free during that too. And I was like, go learn all that. And it really helped me kind of know, hey, well, these are some ways that I might be able to support without being so like in his face, like, are you okay? Are you okay? Come over for dinner. Come hang out with us. Come be with us all the time. Because that was kind of my natural place.
Yeah. And speaking of that, if any of the listeners have someone in their life that has lost someone significant, like in the case of your sister-in-law and brother-in-law, I want you to remember, as from a professional and personal standpoint, that like 3 to 6 months after is where you can really show up for support, because typically the cards stop coming at that point, calls, the texts, et cetera, stop coming. And people can feel really isolated because that's a huge shift.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that if you or someone you love has experienced a big loss, like around 3 to 6 months, really try to get connected with support. And
just that's really good advice to help people with. And don't ask, how can I help?
Absolutely not.
Just say, come over for dinner.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to bring you dinner tonight. Just, you know, they'll tell you, well, okay, set it on the porch or come on in, you know?
Yeah. Go clean the cat box of the person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There's all kinds of ideas. Send them a card.
And if you can't figure it out, Google it. Like, for reals, we live in a time and age where you can have any question answered for you. So if you're like, I don't know how to help somebody who just had a loved one pass away, then Google for ideas and somebody's written a blog post that will speak specifically to you. And
absolutely,
you will be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
Or talk to older family members because they've had something similar happen to them, guaranteed that they can give tips and advice on what they did.
Absolutely. And just remember that grief is not a linear process and the stages are not linear either. You don't go, I mean, you can hit all 5 in one day. And rather than trying to bounce back, we just need to be really compassionate with ourselves and others.
And one other thing to note, since I think it's important to know what grief is, but I always am like, but we are a podcast all about not drinking. Just remember that alcohol is not going to help this.
Exactly.
It's going to go in. It's going to go in and F up your brain. Mm-hmm. Your brain is already out of control during this time and trying to figure out how to work for you. Your nervous system is all out of control. So poisoning yourself is not going to help you. This is a really good time when a mantra can come into place where it's like, alcohol won't help this. It will only make it worse. That's something I said so much on my, like at the beginning of my alcohol-free journey. And it is so true. So remember that. If you're and I have a lot of people, it's one of the big comments that I see on TikTok or Instagram. I was doing great on my alcohol-free journey, and then this loved one of mine passed away. And now I'm using alcohol as self-medication. And like, I am not a therapist, I am not a doctor, but what I can tell you is that it's just not going to help. And as crappy as it is to face the feelings, it's easier in the long term.
Definitely. I agree. Again, from personal experience, and I like to think of grief as pebbles in a backpack. It can get really heavy, and you know, talking about it, getting the support you need, staying sober can make the backpack feel lighter.
Yes, and gosh, all of that. And talk. And what is it? Safe spaces. What's the saying that we had on another?
Shame dies when stories are told in safe places.
Yeah. So if you're feeling guilty about, because that's something I have felt a lot with the loss of my dog, which has been strange, because I'm like, she was 14. She lived an amazing life, and it's. This sounds so silly, and I'm very sorry if you're like, why are you talking about your dog? Like, it's not even a person. But it was a big part of the family. She was a big part of the family. And to, like, one of my thoughts when I was going to bed was, why didn't I give her more cheese? Like, and it sounds so stupid, but it was so, like, and it made me just start crying in bed even more. And I'm like, oh, you were always like, don't give her table scraps, and you should have just given her table scraps. Like, it was irrational, but it was just like, you know, your brain's going crazy places. But to be, and I was able to share that thought in the, on a Daymakers call and just say, it was just a check-in call. And I was able to just kind of share the story. And when I did, I felt lighter. And I had people reach out to me and say, hey, I had a really similar thing happen. You're not alone. Yeah. That right there made it feel better.
Definitely.
And speaking of the Daymakers community, remember that it's always open to enrollment and you can hop in and join us. It gives you a safe space to share what's happening on your alcohol-free journey. If you're grieving someone, you can share there about it if you feel comfortable. You can also just come in and lurk and read everybody's comments so you feel less alone. It is a safe space to do that. We have a private message thread. We have 6 to 8 group coaching calls that are led by Heather and I. So if you love listening to this podcast, you're going to love the group calls. And we really are like a little family, a little alcohol-free family, cheering each other on and keeping each other motivated. So you can actually start a 1-week trial for just $7 and go check it out.
Yeah. Come on, y'all. And if you're feeling touched by this episode and you need one-on-one support, check out the show notes. Happy to help. I am not a therapist. I am a social worker and a certified life coach. So check out the links in the show note. And it's just a recap. We defined grief. We talked about the neuroscience, so to speak, and the 5 stages of grief.
And we're actually going to wrap this one up right here because we don't want to overload you with all the information. So this will be a part 1 of grief. And then next week, you'll hear from us on part 2, where we get to talk about grieving your drinking self, which is a very interesting concept. So if you liked this episode, be sure to hit the rating button. It takes 5 seconds. I've been doing it on other people's podcasts now. You just go down there, hit the hearts and or hit the stars. Hit the hearts on Instagram and TikTok. But go down, scroll down below the podcast notes, and there's a spot for stars. Hit what you think is appropriate for Heather and I, and it really does help to drive this podcast. It's one of the easiest way to support our podcast, and it's totally free.
Yes, absolutely. All right. We will be back with part 2 of the grief episode. So bye, y'all.